This tape is on the pronunciation of ecclesiastical Latin. First, a little background. The period that we know in Latin as the classical period took place roughly from the 1st century BC to the 1st century AD. During these two centuries, the well-known literature of the classical period, written by such authors as Cicero, Caesar, Virgil, Seneca, and so on, was written. Linguists have been able to reconstruct, to a considerable degree, what the pronunciation of Latin during the classical period must have been, at least insofar as the individual sounds of the consonants and the vowels. It is this pronunciation, generally called the classical pronunciation, that is used in American schools, most American public schools, and predominantly even now in Great Britain and the European continent. As the use of Latin continued after the 1st century AD, the pronunciation gradually changed, just as the pronunciation of English changed from, say, the Elizabethan period, the time of Shakespeare, to the modern day. Eventually, Latin became a regional language, or several regional languages, and developed into what we know as the modern Romance languages, Italian, French, Spanish, and so forth. At the same time, Latin continued as a legal, ecclesiastical, literary language in its own right, and the pronunciation of Latin, for instance, in the Middle Ages, did begin to had changed somewhat from what it had been in the classical period. There was some difference in the pronunciation, apparently, between the various regions of Europe. For instance, a Spaniard pronouncing medieval Latin or ecclesiastical Latin would pronounce it more in the way that Spanish might be spoken. An Italian would do the same in Italy, and so on. Fortunately, the vowel structure of ecclesiastical or medieval Latin is virtually the same as it is in the modern Romance languages, so about the only difference would have been in a few of the consonantal sounds. In modern times, that is in the 20th century, there has been a fairly substantial unanimity in the pronunciation of Latin for ecclesiastical and liturgical purposes, and that pronunciation is sometimes even called the Italianate pronunciation because it is very, very similar to the way that modern Italian is pronounced. There are still a few variants, particularly in the Germanic countries, but the popes of the 20th century, starting, I believe, with Pope Pius X, who did much work in the restoration of Gregorian chant and its singing, expressed a preference for the Italian style of pronouncing Latin, and this is generally used nowadays. Now, the classical pronunciation of Latin that is as it was pronounced and as it is taught in most non-religious schools in the United States and elsewhere, had certain characteristics that do not, or rather are not followed as much in the ecclesiastical pronunciation. In the classical period, there was a rather definitive distinction made between what are called long and short vowels. Now, in English, we are inclined to think of the difference between long and short vowels as simply one of sound. For instance, we say A is the long A and A is the short A. The difference that you hear is in the actual phonetic difference in the two sounds, and really has nothing to do with the length of the vowel as it is pronounced. Classical Latin actually did make a distinction between a long vowel and a short vowel in quantity, that is, in how long the vowel was held, so that a long vowel was actually pronounced twice as long as a short vowel. With some vowels, there were also distinctions in the sound of the vowel, what is called the quality, as opposed to the quantity or length. However, and you will see in modern Latin texts long marks over some of the vowels to indicate that those vowels are long. These long marks are only for learning purposes. They are not used in actual text. Now, as I say, liturgical or ecclesiastical or medieval Latin began to lose that distinction as Latin entered the medieval period, so that basically, and it actually makes it a little easier for learners, each vowel has only one sound, that is, not a long and a short sound. Now, there are some individual variations in this matter. Some people do try to make some distinction between the long and the short vowels, just as classical Latin did, and my pronunciation may reflect a little bit of that because my training was in the classical pronunciation originally. However, the usual convention is not to make that distinction, particularly in singing Latin. However, you may find that different people do pronounce vowels a little bit differently and sometimes do make these distinctions, so I draw your attention to that point as an explanation for that phenomenon. Another phenomenon in which there is a little difference between classical and ecclesiastical Latin, at least in the appearance of it on the printed page, is the fact that our texts of classical Latin, as published today, do not show accent or stress marks. Of course, the texts never did. However, in ecclesiastical Latin, for instance, liturgical books such as the Roman Missal, you will find that all of the Latin is marked with an accent mark to indicate what syllable the accent or stress falls on. Now, this is a bit lighter stress than we're used to making in English. It's a little bit more like the Italian stress, which is much more gentle, and the stress should never be overdone, particularly in singing. The rule for stress in Latin, in classical Latin, was fairly simple, and that same rule follows through in ecclesiastical Latin. Since the accents are marked in the books, in the ecclesiastical Latin books, there would be no purpose for me to go over the rules for placing the accent. However, I simply point out for your observation that the accent will never fall on the final syllable, but always falls on the next to the last syllable or the second to the last syllable, and never before the second to the last syllable. So there are basically only two syllables, syllables being basically demarked by vowels, on which the accent in Latin can fall. Therefore, in the ecclesiastical and liturgical books, you will not find the accent marked on a monosyllable, that is a word containing, I'm speaking rather generally here, containing only one vowel, since the accent would naturally fall on that syllable, nor is an accent mark placed on a two-syllable word, since the accent will always fall on the first of the two syllables, according to the general rule I gave you. When a syllable, when a word consists of more than two syllables, then there arises the issue whether the accent is on the next to the last syllable or the second to the last syllable. And in this case, the liturgical books, for instance, place the accent mark for you. The only time you may see an accent mark missing in a three or more syllable word is if the accent falls on the first syllable, the first vowel, and that vowel happens to be represented in the text by a capital letter, since there's some printing difficulties in putting accent marks on capital letters, that would be left off. However, simply in the printing, of course. However, using the general rule I gave you, you can figure out that the accent would have fallen on that syllable. For instance, let us take the word incipe, I-N-C-I-P-E. Now you can hear that there are three syllables in that word, there are three vowels in that word, and notice that I accented the word on the first syllable, incipe. Now let us say that that word began a sentence and the first I was capitalized. Since the I is capitalized, the general printing convention is not to put an accent on a capital letter. Therefore, you would see the word in the text not having an accent at all. Now, you know that the accent must fall upon either the next to the last syllable or the second to the last syllable. And since in the text you would not see the next to the last syllable marked, you know that the only other possibility is that the accent mark should be on the neck, on the second to the last syllable. And since that is a capital letter, the accent mark is not printed, so you know that the accent would fall on the initial syllable. That may sound a little confusing because it's a little difficult to explain in words, but I think if you think about it, and the general rule I gave you, there really should be no major confusion about where the accent falls, and the liturgical books at least are very helpful in indicating where the accent should fall by printing the accent with each word. Now, sometimes Latin has the reputation of being very difficult, and people are put off because of this reputation. Well, of course, that's all a matter of opinion and what experience a person may have in understanding languages. However, regardless of whether Latin is difficult or simple at the linguistic level, the pronunciation is certainly very simple. So I give you that word of confidence before we begin in earnest here, because Latin pronunciation is very straightforward. There are really no true exceptions to any pronunciation rules. The vowels all have the same sound all the time. The consonants generally have only one sound. Occasionally they may have two sounds, but which of the two should be used is always clearly known in advance. So there really is no memorization of lists or special rules. It really is very straightforward. So I give you that note of hope before you begin. Secondly, I point out that Latin is truly a beautiful language, both in sound and in the nature of the language itself. Now, unfortunately, we in the United States or in English-speaking countries have a slightly different linguistic ear from what the Europeans have, that is the non-Germanic Europeans. So we tend to be a little bit sloppy in our speech, particularly when we begin to speak a Romance language or Latin. One of the characteristics about English, spoken English, is that we tend not to make our vowels pure. That is, if I give you a long A sound in English, for instance, in the pronoun T-H-E-Y, I would naturally, as anyone would, pronounce it they. Now notice that that sound of the vowel is not pure. If I stretch it out for you, it sounds like they. Notice that there is that glide on the end. If I did away with the glide, it would sound more like they. Now, of course, that doesn't sound like English. And many people who come to this country or to the English language speaking a Romance language like Spanish or Italian will appear to have what we call an accent. We don't mean a stress. What we mean is that there's a characteristic of their speech that is not quite native. Now, the opposite holds, that when an English-speaking person attempts to speak a Romance language, we tend to give all the vowels a glide, and this sounds pretty horrible to a Spaniard or to an Italian. I point this out because I'm about to go through the vowels with you, and I want you to pay particular attention to try to avoid that glide. Now, I have to plead guilty that it's going to slip into my pronunciation a little bit, much as I try to do away with it, but try to keep it in mind, try to keep the vowel pure, because particularly in singing, the vowels need to be pure. We need to be careful not to have that glide. So I warn you about that in advance. It's the only thing that that there really is a substantial difference between our normal English habits. So I'm going to begin now the vowels in Latin and their pronunciations. The vowels are six in number, A, E, I, O, U, and Y. Now, Y in Latin is always equivalent to I. That is in ecclesiastical Latin, which I'll be talking about exclusively from this point on. And as I said, we will not draw a distinction between long and short vowels because that distinction is generally not made in ecclesiastical Latin, though, as I said, different people have different preferences about this. But I will stay with the simple method of giving each vowel its own singular sound. The A is pronounced ah, not aw, and not a, but always ah, a pure open vowel, as we would use in the English word father. Examples of words having the sound would be amen, alleluia, sanctus, gloria, patri, and I'm emphasizing a bit the vowel so that you can hear it clearly. The E vowel is pronounced E, as in the English word let or met. In this simple method of pronouncing Latin, ecclesiastical Latin, we don't make it A, but it's always E. A relaxed vowel. Words in which this might be exemplified are de, et, erat, kyrie, domine, deus, Christe, miserere. The I is pronounced E, as in meet. It is not pronounced as I, like tin or is or milk. Examples of this vowel would be Christe, Gloria, Domine, Nobis, Dei, Filii, and Patris. Notice that if the vowel is accented, it tends to get a little fuller sound than in an unaccented syllable. That is perfectly all right. However, the quality, the sound of the vowel should not be changed. The letter O, the vowel O, is pronounced O, as in order, or perhaps better, awe, in the English word A-W-E, even though it's an A vowel in the spelling, it has the sound of the Latin O. In this simplified pronunciation, it is not pronounced ever as O, but always awe, with a loose jaw. Examples would be Domine, Gloria, Voluntatis, Quoniam. The vowel U is pronounced U with a rounded lips, as in moon. Careful not to give this a glide, U, but just U with no glide at the end. Examples would be cum, spiritu, tuo, unum, dominum, Christum, factum, incarnatus. And the sixth vowel, the Y, as I said, would be pronounced as I, that is the E sound. As, for instance, is found in the word Kyrie. Now, we have situations in which there is more than one vowel next to another. The general rule is simply to give each vowel its proper sound, its individual proper sound. There is, however, a class that is known by the name diphthong, D-I-P-H-T-H-O-N-G. This is a word that describes the situation when two vowels come together and the pronunciation of one runs into another. The most common diphthongs, that is, two sounds running together. Remember, I said the vowels alone were pure. Now the diphthongs are a different situation where the vowels are run together. The most common one is A-E. Now, in the classical period, this was pronounced as the vowel A followed immediately by the vowel E. Now, it occurred in the ecclesiastical period, which started coming in toward the end of the first millennium, that the A-E combination came to be pronounced as a single vowel. That was just how the pronunciation happened to develop. Now, this situation is actually pictured for us in the texts in a graphic way. You may have noticed in liturgical texts, for instance, that there is a situation where the A and the E are printed together so that the A and the E do not have a space between them, but rather are merged in the printing. This will be a reminder to you that the A and the E are really pronounced as one vowel, not two. There are a few exceptions, but we won't worry about them now. And the sound of that cluster is the sound of the second of the two components, that is the E. So the pronunciation for the A-E printed together without break is the same as the vowel E, that is the sound of E. Now this is very, very common, this combination. You see it in many, many words. Examples would be chelum. Now, sometimes you will also find an OE in this situation. OE is much less common, but the O and the E, again, are run together without a break in between. As a matter of fact, that word that I just pronounced, chelum, meaning heaven, is sometimes spelled O-E instead of A-E. That is, it's spelled C-O-E-L-U-M instead of C-A-E-L-U-M. However, the principle is the same. It is the second of the two vowels in the little cluster that is pronounced. So whether it's spelled on the page C-A-E-L-U-M or C-O-E-L-U-M, it is still pronounced chelum, as if the vowel cluster were a simple E. Other examples would be qui merebat et dolebat from the Stabat Mater, hic dies from the famous antiphon, requiem aeternam from the introit to the Requiem Mass. Now, I mentioned that there were a few exceptions. They're relatively rare, and they're very easily identified. There are two ways in which it is pointed out that instead of pronouncing the A-E cluster as a single vowel sound, the cluster would be pronounced as two individual vowel sounds, first the A, then the E. And these cases are marked on the page in one of the following ways. First of all, I told you that in printing, the vowels A and E were run together without a space in between. If you see a space in between, that indicates that they are to be pronounced separately. Another way is for the diaeresis mark, that is a double dot mark, to be placed above the E to indicate that this is a that the two vowels are to be pronounced separately. Probably the most common words in which you would see this are the name of the Archangel Michael, pronounced in Latin Michael, and the Archangel Raphael, pronounced in Latin Raphael.